بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في العربين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوان الأنصار الشريف إن شاء الله. In the last session we talked about a conversation between Imam Sajjad and his Imam Shibli. And what we discussed was only about half of the hadith. And if I want to continue, then it will need the whole session. So I thought maybe now that you are familiar with the hadith, inshallah you can go first, you know, follow it. So I talked about active of Misbah al-Shari'ah, which is attributed to Imam Sadr alayhi salam, about Hajj. And then there are some points, there are about 30 points, and I will see how many points you know, we can, inshallah, mention. Misbah al-Shari'ah, as you all know, this is attributed to Imam Sadr alayhi salam. But many scholars believe that this is not written as a book by Imam Sadr alayhi salam. It is done by someone who maybe was a companion of Imam Sadr alayhi salam. And he collected the sayings of Imam Sadr alayhi salam in his book and gave it his name. And what is very important is that there are very profound ideas in this book. And you never find anything, you know, strange, anything odd that you normally find in the other books which were written at that time or later, you know, by, you know, Sufis or the people who were, you know, interested in this sort of thing. So our ulama has always had respect for this in the Misbah al-Shari'ah. There is a section about Hajj, and again we will not be able to complete this section, but just to introduce the idea which is mentioned here. Our Imam said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْحَجِّ فَجَرِّدْ قَلْبَكَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ كُلِّ شَاغِلٍ وَخِجَابٍ. When you make the intention of performing Hajj, try to make your heart free from anything that makes your heart busy, anything that preoccupies your heart. So you must be ready to be just clean and pure for the sake of Allah. وَفَوِّضْ أُمُورَكَ إِلَى خَالِقِهَا. And try to submit and surrender all your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of these things. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ فِي جَمِيعِ حَرَكَاتِكَ وَسَكَنَاتِكَ. And trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all your movements and stuff. This shows the maximum, you know, trust. Because some people may say, when we stop, we are not doing anything. In movement, we need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are making something, we are doing something. But Imam says, even when you stop, when you are not doing something, still you need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you are going to continue your life without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's support. So in every moment, whether you are doing something or you are in an idle position, you must trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept His decree, His qaza for you. And وَدَعِ الدُّنْيَا وَالرَّاحَةَ وَالْخَلَقَ. When you want to go for Hajj, leave the material life. Leave the rest. You will have enough time, you know, when you come back for rest. But that would not be time, you know, just for rest. Try to optimally use your time. And also, you are leaving the people. Indeed, I think one of the important things in Hajj is that the person is leaving everyone, everything behind. Even the people who are very dear to you, you have to leave them behind. So sometimes you leave them behind, just physically, but you are always, you know, thinking about them and, you know, worried about them. But it's better that if you leave them, you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't worry that much. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will look after them. Of course, as inshallah we will say among those 30 points, you need to make all the arrangements for them and all the, you know, provision before you travel. Not just you forget them and you go. But when you do all this and you want to go for Hajj, then now try to concentrate on what you are going to do there. Not just thinking always about, you know, your home or your mortgage or bills or business or this or that. Da'id dunya wa rahata wal khalq. وَخْرُجْ مِنْ حُقُوقٍ تَلْزِمُكَ مِنْ جَهَةِ الْمَحْمِينَ. If there are some rights of people upon your shoulder, so you must make sure that you give them back whatever, you know, you owe to them. It is very important. Alhamdulillah, this is something that normally people do, you know. If they owe someone their debt, you know, they give back. If they haven't been able to, you know, pay their loans, they say this, and this is something that definitely is. And then, Imam says, وَلَا تَعْتَمِدْ عَلَى ذَادِكَ وَرَاحِلَتِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ وَقُوَّتِكَ وَشَبَابِكَ وَمَالِكَ. This is very important. Sometimes, because, you know, the whole point in Hajj is to submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and totally become reliant and dependent on Him. Sometimes you would rely on your own arrangement. For example, you know, Imam says, Ala zadika. You say, oh, I have my provision with me, I have lots of money, I have, you know, my return ticket, I have good caravan, you know, good hotel, everything. I am very strong, very young. I have been many times to Hajj. So you feel that, okay, you can manage yourself and you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Imam says, never trust your provision, your means of transportation, whether it is a mule or a horse or camel or nowadays a plane. Never you can trust these things. Maybe they are polluted by radiation, huh? رَاحِلَتِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ. You may be accompanied by many good brothers and sisters, but in the end, without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, these people cannot do anything. If something happens to you, who can, you know, protect? They cannot even protect themselves. How can they protect you? وَقُوَّتِكَ. Even if you are very strong, sometimes, you know, something happens, all of a sudden, you know, you become quite ill. You cannot do anything. مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يَسِيرَ ذَلِكَ عَدُوًا وَذَبَالًا. You must always have the fear that these things may become a burden. Instead of being help and support, sometimes these things become burden. These become your enemy. And I think this is somehow a law in the nature, in the creation, that the things which can be very useful, when you too much are attached to them, then you will start suffering from them. Sometimes you so much love your children, you know, and if you do it for the sake of Allah, okay, you will never regret. But, you know, sometimes you do it in a very personal way, and then you see these children will upset you and disappoint you and become your enemy. You feel, you know, you are annoyed by them. So any kind of friendship and enmity and, you know, relation, if it's not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you want to somehow, na'udhu billah, replace Allah with them, then it will be difficult. And this is something that is happening exactly in Akhirah. But sometimes even in the dunya it appears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-akhilla yawma izin ba'azuhum ba'azin adub illa al-muttaqeen. All the friends on the day of judgment become enemies, except the pious people. If a friendship is based on taqwa, then this friendship endures and survives, even if it survives the death. But if friendship is based on material gain, this will not survive even this dunya, and it become enemy. Then Imam alayhi salam goes on and says, the person must know that he has no power, no support, no way to solve his problems except by appealing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And then Imam says, when you are going for Hajj, be so much prepared as if you are not going to come back. Maybe there is no return to this. Who knows? Who can guarantee? فَإِذَّ اِسْتِعْدَادَ مَنْ لَا يَرْزُرْهُ. You must be so much prepared as someone who has no hope of coming back. If you have no hope of coming back, so how much prepared you know? وَأَحْسَنَ الصُّحْبَةِ. Try to be good companion for others. This is also very important. All these things that we say must be in your heart. But when you meet your friends, you know, you must meet them, you know, in love and, you know, you must smile. You must not be always, you know, very sad and making everyone, you know, sad. This is something going in your heart. Al-mu'minu bushruhu fi wajhih wa huznuhu fi qalbih. Mu'min has a deep sadness, but that is in his heart. When one has his face, he's always smiling and happy. So you must be good companion, good friend. Inshallah we'll talk about it. Then Imam said, you must also be very careful about the time of prayer and the time of all your wajibat. Because you are busy, you know, in traveling, in, you know, going and coming. It's easy to forget. So Imam said, be very careful not to lose any, you know, for example, Salat in the beginning of Qur'an and these sorts of things. And then Imam alayhi salam mentions many things and comes here. ثُمَّ اغْسِلْ بِمَاءِ التَّوْبَةِ الْخَالِصَةِ ذُنُوبَكَ. Before you go for Hajj, as we had in the conversation with Shabbat, wash yourself with the repentance. You remember we said repentance has a nur, has a light that makes you clean. So you must clean yourself, totally purify yourself by a pure and sincere repentance. And try to put on the dress of honesty. Honesty is very important thing, and I think if someone is honest to himself and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to others, this person would have no problem. Honesty will solve all the problems. Wasafa. Safa means transparency, means clarity, means sincerity. And humbleness. And whatever makes you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it forbidden for yourself. If something makes you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make that thing forbidden. And when you are going to say labbaik, utter these words, meaning that you are honestly and sincerely and purely responding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a positive way. And you are holding the Qurbatul Wusqa, which is the firmest handhold that you can take. And with your heart, go around about Tawaf. With your heart, go around Arsh with angels. Because angels also do Tawaf. They go around Arsh. So with your heart, imagine that you are going around Arsh with angels. At the same time that you are going around Kaaba with Muslims and your brothers and sisters, but have in your intention that you are going around Arsh with angels. And when you are going between Safa and Marwa, and you know, sometimes you walk faster, you know, and you do Harwale. So Imam said, have the intention that you are escaping from your last and lower desire. You are, you know, escaping and running away. And you must know that you cannot do anything with your own strength, with your own ability. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So Imam says, وَتَبَرَّأْ مِنْ حَوْلَكَ وَقُوَّةِ. You don't have any strength, you don't have any power. When you go to Mina, try to leave behind all the negligence that you may have. Not to take with you all these things to Mina. When you go to Mina, you must get rid of negligence and qasla. You must not be in a state of negligence. And also when you are in Mina, because one of the means of Mina, you know, the root, is from Munya, which means wish. What you wish. Okay? Or what you dream in the sense of, you know, wishing something, you know, to happen. So Imam says, when you are there in Mina, never wish something that is not halal for you. Always wish something which is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to happen for you. Do not wish something that you do not deserve. Maybe it's halal, but you don't deserve. Why you should wish something that you don't deserve? Because this makes you then forget the reality. You know, if you are wishing and you are too ambitious, sometimes it's creating problems because you don't do any effort, and then you ask Allah sponsor to give me this and that. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, لا تكن ممن يرجو الآخرة بغير العمل ويرجو التوبة بطول العمل. Do not be one of those people who have hope for Akhirah but without doing anything. And they always postpone repentance because they have ambitions and, you know, they have hope. This hope is useless. We need a kind of hope which comes along with effort. You make effort and then you have hope. Like a farmer who digs the ground, seed, put the seed, look after them, but he has hope that inshallah it will be good rain, you know, good sun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will give him good, inshallah, course. But without doing anything, hope is useless. So when you are in Mina, you should know that in your life, you should never be very idealistic, you know, have been too ambitious. Your wishes and your desires must be realistic. It's very good that you have great ambition, but it must be, you know, accompanied with effort. This is very important. And this is, you know, something that we have about Akhirah. In Akhirah, in heaven, the people who are in heaven, whatever they wish, they will have. فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهَ الْأَنْفُسِ وتلذ الأعيون. Whatever they want, they will have. But they will never wish something that they know it's beyond what they deserve. So a person who is in heaven never wishes, you know, to be in the same position of the Prophet or Imam. If he had wished, the Quran says, "Bihama tashri lanfus." But they never wish such a thing because they are reasonable people, they are rational people. They know the limit. This is a very important fact which is mentioned in a hadith, you know. Anyway, your desires and wishes must be well regulated when you are in Mina. When you are in Arafat, what should you do? This Arafat comes from the root Arafa, which means to know, to recognize, to admit. So Imam says, when you are in Arafat, you must admit your mistakes. Sometimes when we say you must admit your mistakes, we only think of our mistakes in the sense of sins or disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. But I think, brothers and sisters, when we are in Arafat, we should not just think about this kind of mistake. Maybe a mistake in my relation between me and my wife or my husband. I should be in Arafat able to admit all my mistakes. Maybe a mistake between me and my parents or my children or my, you know, friends or my neighbors, my community, whatsoever. A person who goes to Arafat must be reviewing all aspects of his life and personality and behavior. And I think these are most difficult to admit. Many of us are very much prepared, you know, to say Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh if we haven't said, for example, khums, or we haven't, you know, said our prayer, or we haven't fasted. But it's very difficult for us to admit that I have been wrong in my relation with someone. So if you go, inshallah, to Arafat, see how much you are prepared, first of all, to understand your mistakes. We so much love ourselves that we keep our mistakes, you know, hidden. Even we ourselves don't understand our mistakes. Because whenever something is going wrong, I say, these are others who are making mistakes. I am always masoom. I never make any mistakes. She did something, you know, made me angry. She was responsible. Or he, you know. So I am always masoom. This is, you know, our assumption. So we shouldn't say we have, you know, 14 masoomin. We have 15. One of us is, you know, outer. So, are we ready to objectively review our different aspects of our, you know, personality? And if there is any mistake, to admit and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, now that I go back, inshallah, I will sort it out. I will be a different person. Then Allah will be different to you. Then Allah will show you something that He was not showing up to now. He will send some blessing that up to now He has not been sending. Because now you are a different person. Now you have more capacity to receive Allah's blessing. Because Allah's blessings are not arbitrary. Nothing happens by chance. So when you are in Arafat, you must admit your mistakes. And you must renew your covenant, your promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَقَرَّبْ إِلَيْهِ And approximate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are in Muzdalifah, وَاتَّقِهِ بِمُزْدَلَفَةِ In Muzdalifah, try to achieve piety. When you understand your mistakes, then it would be possible to become pious. Because you have realized what are the sorts of problems that you have, you suffer. Okay? If I don't know how many problems I suffer, so I cannot sort them out. If I can objectively review myself in Arafat and understand my mistakes and admit them, Then, in the next step, when I'm in Muzdalifah, I can become a pious person. وَسْعَدْ بِرُوحِكَ إِلَى الْمَلَأِ الْأَعْلَى بِسُعُودِكَ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. If you go on the mount, maybe for, you know, referring to some of the hills which are there, you must take your spirit to the Malakut, to the Malai A'la. It's not just your body must move. You should take your spirit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything, and this is something that I think very obvious from all these hadith. Any physical movement in Hajj must all, this is, you know, my summary of whatever we said. Every physical movement in Hajj must always be given a spiritual, also, implication, spiritual understanding. You do nothing in Hajj except that it has a spiritual dimension. This is very important. These are all symbolic acts. This is not a, for example, you know, play. Just, you know, we want to, you know, for example, have some sort of entertainment. Go there and do this and then come here and do this. No, everything has very deep and profound meaning. So whatever you do, you must always think, what does it mean that I am doing this? What is the whole point behind? When you are doing zep, you slaughter a sheep or animal. وَذْبَحْ حَنْجَرَةَ الْحَوَى وَالْتَمَعْ إِنْدَ الْذَبْحِ. That sheep is innocent. That sheep is slaughtered so that you can slaughter your lust and hawa and havas. And this is very important. And try to slaughter it, you know, quickly. You know, you always go for a very sharp, you know, knife so that there is no pain. Okay? And quickly, you know, you can cut all the blood vessels. So when we are also cutting, you know, our have desires and shahwa, it's better to do it very quickly. Otherwise, you know, you will suffer for a long time. Maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years you are suffering. 1 minute, finish. Now I am changed. From today, I am a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Face toward Mecca, and cut all these things, ties that attach you to dunya. When you are throwing stones toward shaitan, in Jamarat, so what should be your intention? Imam says, what you are throwing must be your bad and ugly quality. Because this will hurt shaitan more than anything else. I am a person who is, for example, you know, very jealous. So I throw my jealousy to shaitan. Shaitan will pain, have great pain. Whatever bad qualities you have, if you are very angry, getting very angry, so throw your anger. This must be your intention. And when you are shaving your head, so your intention must be that you are removing every hidden or clear deficiency that you have. So that your heart starts illuminating. And then, when you want again go to Haram and Masjid al-Haram, then you must have the intention that now I am entering into the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah is receiving me, is providing me with protection, and He's going to cover me. And when you touch Hajar al-Aswad, you must have the state of Raza, you must be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decrees and judgments about you, and you must be humble. And when you are doing farewell tawaf, so say goodbye to everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell them, this is my farewell meeting with you. I am saying goodbye to all of you. And purify your spirit and your soul for the meeting of Allah, meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when all people will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only thing that helps is what? يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. When we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither children nor money can benefit. It's only qalb salim, a pure heart. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said in a pure heart is the one that meets his Lord while there is nothing other than Allah in it. This is the pure heart. الَّذِي يَلْقَى رَبَّهُ وَلَيْسَ فِيهِ أَحَدٌ سِوَاهُ. So this is why here says, purify your spirit for the day you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is your intention when you go on Safar. And when you go on Marwa, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you. This is very important. Allah is always looking at us and observing what we do. As the Quran says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Doesn't man know that Allah is seeing you? Allah is always looking at us. Someone, you know, went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, I cannot stop making sins. Unfortunately, whenever I make decision to not commit any sin, again I commit sin. And Imam gave him some advices. One of them was that, okay, no problem. Just go somewhere that Allah does not see you, and then whatever you want, you can do. At least in front of Allah, before His eyes, don't commit sin. And he said, you know, I cannot find such a place. So I said, okay, so don't commit sin. So wherever we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us. And then, Imam alayhi salam said, try to remain on all the, this is very important. Remain loyal to what you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Hajj. Try to keep all the promises that you make. You cannot deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, okay, I say nice words when I am there, and when I go back, I will be again the same person. Now try to keep your promises, and to keep your word. Then, Imam mentions this point. Imam says, among all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory, all the wajibat that we have, Hajj is unique in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have made Hajj obligatory for my sake. لِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ. It is obligatory, it is wajib, it is compulsory for people to perform Hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have such a thing about Salat. Even Salat, it is the pillar of the faith. Amududdin. But you don't have Lillahi ala nas as Salat. Lillahi ala nas as Zakat. But this is just Hajj. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in a special way attributed to Himself And I also want to add something to understand the strength of Hajj. Every wajib, as far as I thought and I remember, maybe I am making a mistake, but as I reviewed, you know, in my mind, the only wajib that you perform it once in your life is Hajj. And this shows the strength of Hajj. It means that it is so powerful that for your happiness, if you perform one Hajj, it would be enough. Because you know, why something becomes wajib? Ulama say that whatever has a benefit for us, without which we cannot reach happiness and perfection, this becomes wajib. If it has benefit, but still without that we can become happy in Akhirah, that's mustahab. But something which has benefit, and this benefit cannot be avoided, al-maslaha al-mulzama, a compelling benefit, so it becomes wajib. So Hajj has such a benefit, and such a, such an outcome, that performing Hajj for once gives you the strength that you need for Akhirah. Of course, if you perform more, it's better. But every person at least must perform once the Hajj. And this is why the Prophet said, whoever is able to perform Hajj and doesn't perform Hajj, he has not died as a Muslim. Has died as a Jew or Christian or whatever. He's not a Muslim. Performance of Hajj is very important, and this shows the strength of Hajj. But man istata'a ilayhi sabila. The people who can do this, the people can go for Hajj. Then this is again my reflection. So you may say, okay, if Hajj has such a strength, so what about the people who cannot go for Hajj? And I think the pain that these people have for Hajj, the love that they have for Hajj, and they cannot go for Hajj, this compensates. Because Hajj is to make you a submissive servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have such a love for Hajj and you cannot do it, this love transforms the nature of human beings. I read that there was a person who had performed 4 Hajj. And there was a young man who was talking to him and, he said, I've been to Hajj for 4 times. And he said, the young man said, I have never been to Hajj. And, he was very sorry. And, he said, I don't know what to say. You say, ah? Yeah. So that man told him, okay, I change the reward of 4 Hajj that Allah has given me with the reward of this ah that you offered. And that young man said, okay. In the night, that person who gave the reward of 4 Hajj had a dream that you made lots of profit. You made good deal. You didn't lose. Giving 4 Hajj to have the reward of that person who couldn't afford and go for Hajj, but he had this pay. So I think this can compensate that a strength that you can get from Hajj, but if you are not going. Anyway, this shows, I think, the power of Hajj, that once upon your life, you must go for Hajj, so that you can say, I am a Muslim, and I am dying as a Muslim. Okay. Then the last sentence, and I don't know what to do with those 30 points. That's the last sentence of here, and inshallah maybe that for another time, inshallah. Imam Ali Salam said that whatever is legislated that is stated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Israel is asked to do during Hajj. The man said, it is all, you know, this is the, you know, very last explanation. The man says, it's all to be prepared for death. للاستعداد والإشارة إلى الموت والقبر والبعث والقيامة. So Hajj is a journey which very much resembles your journey to the next world, to the hereafter. And the whole point in Hajj is to get ready for that. Whatever we said, doing repentance, give the money or that, you know, that you have to the people, you know, back. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognize and admit your mistakes, try to change yourself, bring down your desires to the realistic, you know, level. All the things that we said is to prepare yourself for Akhirah. And this is why we said, you know, when you are going for Hajj, think that you may not come back. So, if by going Hajj, we achieve such a state that we are prepared for death. And any time, you know, you are ready to say labbaik, when the angel of death comes in to say labbaik, then this is the good sign that you have had enough preparation. If not, it means that your Hajj was not perfect. Okay, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah enlighten our heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to perform a pleasing and a blessed Hajj if we have not been able to do so now, by now, inshallah future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our mistakes and sins and give us ability to recognize whatever problems that we have, whatever illness is in our heart, and inshallah to change to a better person, to a good mu'min. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to meet our Imam Zaman while he is happy with us and smiling. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal and heal all our brothers and sisters who are healed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all Maqumin, especially our parents, grandfathers, the ulama who have taught us Islam, our great marajis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prolong the lives of our elders, our ulama, our marajis. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a very good end for our life. And this is the most important thing. Allahumma al aqibata amrna khayra. Thank you very much for your attention. Unfortunately, those points are less. Starting another issue. So we continue with Hajj, inshallah. We mentioned those 30 points that I have in mind. Some of them are for Hajj, some of them are useful for Ziyarah and any trip. So even if you are not going for Hajj, inshallah, it will be useful.